Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
What do you think of when I mention the annual performance review? Most people don't think they're effective, and supervisors dread them. So why do we keep doing them? This edition of By Your Life, we explore how to make a performance evaluation a more positive and productive experience for all involved. Welcome to the 185th episode of By Your Life. I'm Lisa Hudeman, and I know that you have 100 different things you could be doing right now, so I thank you for choosing By Your Life. If you haven't already, please subscribe via your favorite podcast host or on the right side of the page on our website at byyourlife.com so I can send you notifications when each new episode is posted. And please forward to a friend you think would benefit from By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace and to trust that it's good for business. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. When I listened to the Gospel reading, I couldn't help but think it sounded like a performance appraisal. You know, those well-intended, often dreaded, and rarely effective meetings between an employee and his or her supervisor. Okay, so maybe they aren't all always that bad. But as a supervisor, I never looked forward to the time of year performance appraisals were due. In fact, I can't think of a single person who ever thought, oh goody, it's performance appraisal time. I get to figure out how to fit my team members' performance into one of those objective 5-point rating scales, write some generic justification for why I rated them that way, and hope that I don't totally demoralize them in the process. Things only got worse when the powers that be decided we had to force fit our team members' ratings into a typical bell curve. We were not allowed to rate everyone in our department as above average, even if they were. I know not all companies have horrific performance appraisal processes, but I've yet to discover one who has figured out a foolproof approach. The reason is, the most people approach the performance review with the same attitude I did, and therefore, they get less than satisfactory results. So if employees don't think they're effective, and supervisors dread them, why do we keep doing them? A better question might be, why do we keep doing ineffective performance reviews, and what would it take to make the process less dreaded, waste of time, and instead a more positive and productive experience for all involved? Let's go back to the Gospel reading, and we see what Jesus did when the man ran up and asked him what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He loved him. What does it mean to love someone? St. Thomas Aquinas said, to love is to will the good of another. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church follows, All other affections have their source in this first movement of the human heart toward the good. Only the good can be loved. By loving him, Jesus recognized the man was good. He reviewed the expectations that had previously been set with the man and acknowledged that his keeping the commandments was also good. But he went deeper than that. He respected the man's dignity. Because he loved him, he wanted what was good for him. This performance appraisal wasn't about what was in God's best interest, nor was it about what was in Jesus' best interest. He loved him. He cared about what was in the man's best interest, eternal life. So he spoke the truth to him, and he told him what he needed to do to get to the next level. He said, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." In other words, here's what's holding you back. If you want eternal life, do this. But Jesus didn't just leave the guy to figure out on his own. He said, "Come, follow me. I will show you the way to eternal life, because I am the way." Unfortunately, this story has a sad ending because a young rich man walked away sad. He decided he didn't want to do what it takes. Jesus knew that the truth was hard. He said, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." Yet he didn't lower the bar. He didn't back off on the requirements. Instead, he offered him help to meet the requirements. For human beings, it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God. In my early years as a young manager, I had an employee who started demonstrating a habit of missing work on Mondays. She always had an excuse. Actually, it was quite amazing how tragedy after tragedy happened in this young girl's life on Sunday nights. In addition to getting sick, there was a car accident, a fire, a friend dying, and a few others. While I couldn't prove she was being untruthful, I was highly suspicious of these stories. So I sat down to talk with her about it, and I didn't wait until her one-year anniversary rolled around. First, I asked her what she wanted out of her career with the company. Then we talked about the opportunities that were available for her to achieve her goals. But I told her that these opportunities were dependent on how well she performed in this job. I was willing to help her and recommend her for new opportunities, but she needed to demonstrate that she was worthy of a recommendation. She needed to show up to work. We talked about how her absences impacted the rest of the team. Her job was important, and if she wasn't there, others suffered. Also, to address my suspicions, from that point on, she had to bring supporting evidence for me to excuse any future absences. For the next 30 days, she was there on time every day. And then she quit. Perhaps this is another story with a sad ending. I don't know what happened to her. Leaving this job may have been the best thing for her, but only if she learned something about responsibility. I know that I did my part to help and encourage her, but ultimately, it was up to her. So, what do you do if you have a less than perfect performance appraisal process at your company? You may not be able to change the form, but you can change your attitude about the process. Let me suggest 5 steps to more effective performance appraisals. 1, the process should benefit the employee. 2, be specific about the good. 3, look to the future. 4, support them in making improvements. And 5, follow up. The first step to consider is who this process should be benefiting. Do you love that person? Yes, I am asking if you love that person who is always late, who is causing drama, the one who is abrasive, and the one you've told 100 times how to do their job, and they still miss the details. I was working with a president of operations recently, and he expressed frustration with an employee who messed up. But instead of taking responsibility, She made excuses. He said the more he pressed her on the issue, the more she got defensive. When I asked him why he kept pressing her, he said he just wanted her to admit that she was wrong. Unfortunately, the more he pressed, the more she resisted. I understand him wanting her to accept responsibility for her mess up. Otherwise, it was likely that she'd repeat the mistake. But her response was emotional, not rational. She was defensive, and as long as her emotions were ruling her brain, her thinking brain was shut down. So it may have made him feel better if she would just said that she was wrong, but pressing her wasn't helping her. The goal should always be to solve the problem while maintaining the dignity of the person. In this case, it was the dignity of his employee. Which brings me to the second step. Look for the good. Economist Andreas Stratz, whose TEDx Riga talk is titled, "Don't Bury the Annual Performance Review," suggests that we take a lesson from funerals. He argues that performance appraisals would be much more beneficial if they were more like a eulogy filled with those specific stories about how a person made a positive difference in your life, or in the case of a performance review, the life of the department or company. These specific stories are something the individual can identify with, be proud of, and replicate. The third step is to look at the future. Where does the individual want to go, and what do they need to do to get there? How do they need to grow and develop to make it to the next level? I know that for some underperforming individuals, there is no next level. The goal is just to keep the job they have. But perhaps they are a bad fit for this job. If their gifts, talents, skills, and motivation are not aligned with what it takes for success in this job, how can you help them find a better fit somewhere else? For those who have room to grow in this job, what specifically do they need to do? The fourth step is to be committed to helping them get to where they want to go. What do you need to teach them, support them, and invest in them? Even though it is up to the individual to choose to do the work, your job is to remove the obstacles and help them get there. The fifth step is really multiple steps. It is the follow-up part. Your number one job as a leader is to develop your people. And you can't do that if you only sit down to talk about their development once per year. God has placed these people in your life, and it is your responsibility to serve them. How well are you doing? Perhaps today is also a good time to do a little self-appraisal with the guidance of Sunday scripture readings. What have you done with the talents and skills God has given you? What do you want out of your time here on earth? I suspect that like the young rich man, it is to inherit eternal life. So how are you doing in that quest? Life is hard. We are distracted. So many things get in our way. Sometimes we mistake these things, wealth, power, pleasure, or honor, as the ultimate good. How hard it is to break free from what modern culture values as good. Jesus reminds us, no one is good but God alone. And we can only find our perfection in seeking and loving what is true and good. So what do you have to do to eliminate the things that get between you and that which you seek, the only one who is true and good? What are those things that you've mistaken for good? The Book of Wisdom, in its beautiful poetic style, is clear that those things which we seek, scepter and throne, or power, priceless gems, silver or gold, or riches, or health and beauty, pleasure, are nothing when compared to her. So what is wisdom? Bishop Barron said, wisdom is the clarity of mind and heart that comes from a deep friendship with God. Without wisdom, we continue to seek that which will always leave us wanting more. For as St. Augustine wrote in his Confessions, for you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. But when we put first things first, that is, when God is placed in the right order, all good things will come to us. Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." This is a paradox of the promise. If we give it all up, we will have 100 times more in this life and in the age to come. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to honestly appraise our lives and to remove any obstacle that prevents us from following Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Help us to choose wisdom above all things of this earth. Show us the path to holiness, so that we may also be a guide for others, so that in all that we do, we may glorify you by our lives. And may God bless you abundantly, and may you glorify the Lord by your life. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on the right side of the page at byyourlife.com. And check out the resources page where you can find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in other episodes of By Your Life. And help us to spread the word by forwarding to a friend, sharing on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Just click the icons at the top of the post on our website page. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback or just leave me a comment.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.